community, media, stakeholders. Welcome to our budget vote for community safety. I'm Regan Allen and I'm the chairperson for community safety. To my left we have Mr. Wasim Matthews and to his further left we have Mary Ann Burgess. I'll allow members to introduce themselves for the record and then for the minister, the HOD and the officials, but also for the guests at the back.
Good afternoon, Lorraine
Wittam. Good afternoon, Gillian
Bosman. Good afternoon, Mesuli Kamo.
Good afternoon, Philan Christians.
Good afternoon, Doreen Tusky from the Liquor Authority.
Good afternoon, Trevor Wingrove from the Department of Community Security.
I love it if we divert from protocol. Into it. So I'm okay. You may continue.
Good afternoon, Clarissa Samuel.
Good afternoon, everyone. Both at Noble Docs.
Simeon George, the Docs as well. Thank you.
Lindsay Governor, Program 1 from the Department.
Good afternoon, Yashina Pillay, Program 2 and 3.
Afternoon, Mohamed Fisler, CFO.
Gideon Morris, Head of Department.
Good afternoon, I'm Fritz, MBC, and I love the idea of changing things so we can get different outcomes.
Thank you to everyone. I trust that you are feeling welcomed already. As I stated earlier, it is vote number 4, pages 119 to 150 members, but I'll first allow the Minister for brief introductory comments, followed by the HOD if need be, but also specific to the APP, as per the executive statement, members. Over to you, Minister.
Yeah, I would even just be, as you suggest, good afternoon to all my colleagues and all the honorable members of staff. I think I just want to make some introductory remarks, and then I think we can actually suggest that we look at the dissecting of our the budget. So, Mr. Chair, the Department of Community Safety's total budget allocation has increased from $359 million in 2019-20 to $804 million in the 2020-2021 year. This is an increase of 123.78%. I look forward to working with the Standing Committee to dissect and unpack the total budget allocation today. As a provincial government, we are dedicated to improving the safety of residents in this province, which is why these increases have been made. Having said that, the department's core legislative mandates and functions will continue with business as usual. And I think one must emphasize that there's a perception that because we have a safety plan, all the other things are standing still, we will continue with our legislative mandate. And the point you made about the APPs and all those indicators there. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, we'll respond to questions if that's sufficient. Thank you.
No problem. For the record, we have one apology member, Yanda Barnes, who will be joining us shortly.
Members, based on the executive statement for the introductory comments, you have any input or
questions at this time? We are all covered.
I will now table budget vote number 4, pages 119 to 129, the first 10 pages.
trust that you have had time to prepare in this regard. So once I get an indication, I will take notes. I note member Kama and then member Buerta, member Christians in that order.
No, thank you, Chair, and greetings to the department once again. I think my first question, Chair, would be on, because I saw, I think, in many of the pages, there is reference to, I think it's mentioned that the department is charged with the responsibility of championing VIP 1, which is safety and cohesive communities. Now, when I looked at that, Chair, it speaks on policing and law enforcement, and where I want to base my question, it speaks on reducing violence by and against youth and children. But there's no mention of women in particular. But when I read the document, there's always continuous specific reference to gender-based violence. Now, I just want to check that, Chair, as to how are we going to really measure our performance in that regard when it's not even our vision-inspired the P priority. Yes, thanks, Chair. That's the first question. The second question, Chair, is on page it's page 119. There's a paragraph which at the bottom it talks on the core functions and main services, influence the allocation of policing resources through consultative engagements with communities, NGOs, and faith-based organizations. Now, in that, Chair, I want to check, perhaps take it further to check if in the engagements with the police itself, the provincial commissioner, I think we've heard in the past that at least now the relations are getting better and better because there is the platform of continuous engagement. Now, what I want to check, Chair, is that is there an engagement on, because I think the department has also expressed itself on the case of SJC as it relates to the skewed allocation of police resources. Now, is there an engagement on redistribution of these police resources to ensure that the most affected areas do benefit? Is there that engagement? Because I think that will assist us in the work that we're going to do going forward. The third question, Chair, which will be the last for now, is on one line still, which is the second paragraph there, which talks about creating safety partnerships and capacitating safety partners such as CPFs and neighborhood watch and district municipalities to improve safety in their community. Now, what I want to check, I think in the previous engagements we've had, we talked about incapacities of other other neighborhood watches in terms of the application processes and all that. What are we going to do differently now to assist them? You know, others might not have the capacity to follow all the administrative processes that they need to be followed. So what interventions are we going to have in that regard? Those are the questions for now, Chair, hoping for later on.
Member Buerta?
Thank you, Chair. I'm latching onto the last part of Member Kama on page 124. And the second last paragraph also with regards to the neighborhood watches. And we have learned with regards to our engagement with the department that there are many accredited neighborhood watch structures. Now, in saying what you are saying here, I just want to know in what areas of the neighborhood watches of the work are they going to be strengthened, and with regards to the specifics where they are going to be strengthened, what will the cost be?
Thank you very much, Chair. Just the question. I'm going to also latch onto the neighborhood watches, as we had a lot of engagement with neighborhood watches. Just tell me, is there any progress and with the life cover of neighborhood watches that that you would got a legal opinion on to say how can we assist neighborhood watches when it comes to when they're on duty to at least cover them? I know the Premier have mentioned something that there's money available to do that. If you can just indicate where that is. I think I'll leave my other questions also as it comes. Thank you, Chair.
If I can add additional questions for answer and input, on page 124, you make mention regarding the focus placed on increasing school safety, and I believe that is 4.3 million rand that has been allocated to SROs. Where will they be stationed? Do we have an idea? Has that plan been rolled out or identified? It will be the hotspots or where those schools would be. But then also for the on the same page, the neighborhood watch information management system has been developed. Has that been rolled out? Have we had one? Will that kick in the 1st of April, for example, or do we have neighborhood watches already doing the online application and accreditation process? But also with the K9 units and the 2.5 million that has been set aside, is that where the funding will go to various municipalities? And do we have MOUs or have some type of policy to state that the municipalities must get the dogs, the training of the dogs, of the handlers, etc. And do we foresee any hiccups in the timelines proposed in that regard for when that K9 units will be rolled out? I can understand that in certain municipalities to get a service provider, for example, might be more difficult than here in the metro.
Thank you again, Chair. You know, I was just thinking about this, and I don't know where to look for it. The neighborhood watches, they are losing members on a regular basis because of the school walking bus. People in the school walking bus gets 1,400 rand, and people now in the neighborhood watches leave the neighborhood watches to go to the walking bus. I was in Altizover last week, and that was again evident that people says, you know, people that need some money. And then just another question, Chair, the walking bus is the one, but the school safety, I think the Minister has mentioned this before, about the school safety, about it's so expensive to have the school resource officers. If you get neighborhood watches in, it will be cheaper. If we can just get an update on that. Thank you, Chair.
And now hand over to
thank you, Chairperson. I think I'll answer the first couple that I think that's kind of very strange, but the IP one sounds very political, but I mean, there's more from a policy point of view, and I think the others are issues that we can raise with the department. Mr. Kama asked the issue around the docs champion. I think that's a very, very important, because part of the IP one includes the victim empowerment and specifically the gender-based violence project that's championed by Minister Fernandez. So, and that, I want to emphasize, is part of that VIP1. And so women, and remember, they must do families and children as one of their core responsibilities in that VIP. That speaks to the role of the woman in that family, the role of the father in that family, but really looking at women. And you remember, in that regard, I just want to say a practical outcome of it is the increase in the number of properties that's been given by the Department of Public Works to the province now to increase the rollout of shelters in the province from, I think it was 26 to about 29, 20, something, I don't know the exact number. But I just want to emphasize that they're very, very much part, the project of gender-based violence is very, very much part of that VIP1 project, but it's also very part in the VIP3 that speaks to the empowering of women and general people in general. So I think it's just an important point. The other question around the engagement with the police itself, with regard to the redistribution of, we've had, and remember one of the issues that the provincial commissioner in her opening remarks when she came to the province, she made that point around looking at resource allocation within the province. She in fact said service delivery at a police station level is going to be one of her priorities. And that then implies, she says, so I'm quoting her, that by doing that you will have to look at the resources allocated to certain parts of the province where areas are high in demand for extra resources, they will do. And I want to emphasize, Honorable Kama, that I'm really having a very, very good and open relationship with the new commissioner. And it's one of trying to get solutions and not to try and play games. And really, so I want to say to you, it's really, very good news. And that I think, I think we're going to just take it from height to a level, to a higher level. Creating partnership neighborhood watches at CPS and how the accreditation, I think someone can speak, but I just want to make, and I think alludes to some of the points that Honorable Christine is also making. I think there's a lot of space for also creative thinking in the space of neighborhood watches. I think Honorable Christine spoke about how does it deal with school safety, and remember HOD models has been saying for a while that we need to see how do you use the local neighborhood watch. And I'll give you practical examples where it's actually working. How do you use the neighborhood watch to secure the school instead of a security company? The security company, everyone will tell you, when the gangs or whoever comes to the school, they run away. Right? If there's a school in Mitchell's Bay, Montague Drive Primary. Hasn't been broken into for 11 years. And one of the reasons for them not having been broken into is because the Montague neighborhood watch B block watches over that school. And we haven't paid them a cent so far.
Yeah.
So how can, if we are just prepared to just, what do we compensate them for the time that they, as a project instead of paying for a company? And what that neighborhood watch is doing, they've taken even further of Oliver Karma. They've also even got involved in the development of youth at the school. So the grade 8s go on the orientation camp, the mothers cook of neighborhood watch, they are cooking the food. But it's a neighborhood watch program driven by the neighborhood watch. So I think there's a very interesting model that one can develop from, I think, the point that Honorable Christians is asking. And then I think the question, the officials will perhaps give the very specifics, but I know that the network, there was an information system when you report for duty that you can go live, and that system will show you that you are in, you're actually walking down Hanlon Road in an overpark, you're saying you are there, and then you're not there. But I think Honorable Christians also asked an interesting question around the neighborhood watch versus the walking buses. Now, unfortunately, as you all remember, all those people in the walking buses were neighborhood watches. And when you offer people something, because people do need electricity and bread, and they all migrated to that side. I don't know how sustainable that is, but that's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
I think our challenge is to look at how can one make the whole neighborhood watch a professional thing, and I think that's one of our, if you read through here, you'll see how the department has now embarked on a campaign of the professionalization of neighborhood watches. And I think it includes, so it includes that issue of the insurance, and one, we must, as you said, we must get early, but I think someone perhaps might speak around the legality around the insurance and the cost if something happens. And then the SROs, the school resource officers, and I think the HOD then will speak perhaps to it again. But again, when we did a LEAP thing, and you know, young, I just want to make the point, when people come in all our systems, when they come in as interns, they stay in, and some of us expect people to forever stay interns. I heard someone, oh, why are the interns getting, of course, when people are interns, they need to go to a next level, or
yes,
go somewhere else, but they need to, they can't just stay interns. And so a lot of them apply for the LEAP project, for, you remember, the law enforcement project in the city. So that left a gap. We've now, the HOD's work team has now worked Mana, how do we remedy that for the future purposes, that it never happen again, that you don't, because some of the most vulnerable parts of the schools were left, you know, vacant. They're now working on it, I think, but they will speak to that. But I just want to say to you that that issue of migration, upgrade, you know, all the time happens. But I think the school safety project, I just want to mention the other school that's very interesting is West End. Hasn't been broken into for the last 12 years. Again, similar, very close relationship with the community, with neighborhood watches, and they in fact have a security company that has their base on the school. So I mean, that's the other reason perhaps why, but their whole base, their offices and everything, and they operate from there. So that's the one. I think I'm going to give some of the other questions over to the HOD and the staff, but thank you for those questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister. If we can then just supplement some of the matters raised, Mr. Kama, on the influence on allocation of police resources. Just a reminder also that this matter is still before court and that we are a party. We filed our affidavit in December and that the court is still mediating the ruling made by the Equity Court on how the resources must be allocated. So that's an ongoing process. And then maybe, Chair, just to put the money where Minister is speaking, just to direct you there, page 121, you'll see that there's an additional allocation of 9.5 million for the neighborhood watches. That then includes also the communication system. We are already on tender now to procure the handsets, but now there are so many apps that you could potentially use, Chair. And we know that the police also recently launched an app that's from their side in a partnership with Facebook, if I remember correctly. So we are also looking at how can we link with that to make sure that if the neighborhood watches report on the app, that the information does not go and sit somewhere on a server, it must be actioned up. So we're buying the devices, we will then link it up. Page, there's the one on the division, you'll also see on the neighborhood watch payment. Sorry, Chair, I'm just now, that's my 124, let's see if I was saying. Yeah, so Chair, you'll see that there's money for the projects of the neighborhood watches. I'll give you the direction of the time now. 2 million for this year, and that is then, as Minister said, then the linking of the school safety. There is still the technicality, and Mr. Simeon George can maybe speak to it, on the CIRA legislation. You understand, if we, again, there is that. Simeon, I don't know if you want to add to that now. And I think then just also, Yashina, if you can, on the where the school safety, the SROs, I don't know if you've got that information now. But I can maybe just mention, Chair, that is a continuation of a three-year project now on the school safety, and it's also linked with the physical location for access of emergency medical response. So you understand it's the kind of the safe zone concept. Yashina, if you can.
In terms of the SROs, I'm just checking with the director. We have the list of schools, but if we do not have them available yet, can submit it. There has been amount in the year that will be transferred of 4.38 million to the city. There were priority schools that were previously identified between SACS, the Department of Education, so it will be a continuation of that. But we can provide the specifics in relation to that. Minister, if you don't mind, if I can just add to Mr. Kama's question in relation to our engagement with SACS. We are working very closely with the provincial commissioner as well as her team in relation to the rollout of the safety plan operations in priority areas. And we have been privy to some of the information in relation to a redeployment to areas that required the resources to further supplement Operation Lockdown and the SANDF presence. So just to reassure the committee, we are moving together with SAP as we go into the priority areas in our attempt to halve the murder rate by 50% in the 10 years. Thank you.
Simeon, on the K9, maybe also the agreement with the municipalities, that assurance.
Thank you, Chair. Two issues I'd like to point on, the last having been the issue around security and registration with CIRA as to do services related to security function. Obviously, there are strict requirements as far as that is concerned. One is the credit, the qualification that is needed, and then the accreditation, so to speak, or grading that that is applicable. And then secondly, once they do those functions, there are certain salary provisions that you must provide for in relation to that. There is, however, a possibility of securing an exemption by way of a motivation to the minister, and that could be explored going forward. That will be one of the things we do. And then just maybe in terms of the K9 unit, to say that provision has been made right now or next year for the about 6.9. The division for that is about 2.2, 2.3 in respect of three local authorities. The one is Cape Town, Swartland, the other one Malmesbury, and the other one Overstrand, which is Hermanus. We've been involved with all three of them in this current financial year, and that will continue into the next financial year.
If I can, just on the, of course, if we can succeed in the neighborhood watches, too, we don't need to look only at the money available in our budget, but we need to also consider the 800 million rand that's being spent by all provincial departments on security. If we can get only a 10% of those, so when there's a big security contract given to Khayelitsha Hospital, there should be a condition that 10% of the guards must be recruited from the ranks of accredited neighborhood watchers. So in once we can get that momentum rolling, then, Chair, you'll see that not only the money in our budget, but a lot of the other heads of departments and other departments will respond by putting money into that one. Chairperson, is a specific, it's 134 that I just wanted, page 134, you'll see the allocations there then to non-profit organizations, the 2.070, that's the neighborhood watchers, and then the 4.3 million that's under households, that's for the CPF projects then. So that's just the detail there. Thank you, Chair.
Members, as you would know that we will be requesting the department to further engage us around the ABP and the strategic plan, but if we have any further questions for the first 10 pages, which is 119 to 129, I see you, Osman.
Just a follow-up, Chair. In terms of the technology platforms that are provided to neighborhood watchers and DOCS users, to what extent does it link into the EPIC program that the City of Cape Town uses?
If I can just add additional ones as well, but let me first note Member Kama.
Thank you, Chair. I have one follow-up on the question you asked about the K9 unit. I want to check, because on page 121, right at the bottom, it says establishment of the K9 dog unit and highway patrol safety initiatives. Now, what I want to understand is the role. I know you once asked this question on the role of the K9 unit. What will they be doing on a daily basis? And I think I think the response to that, sorry, Chair, was also there was reference made to the second part, which is here, which is the highway patrol safety initiatives. Now, what I want to zoom in and get a clear understanding is that are these two separate programs, or is it the K9 unit doing the other program? And further say, is the K9 unit only going to be in the highways? Therefore, that's the question I had. The second question, Chair, is on 122. In relation to the expansion of the Chrysalis Academy. I see there now that it's expanded to reach more youth and will now include youth hubs and youth camps. If I can get an understanding in terms of numerically, what numbers are we talking about when we say more youth? What numbers are we talking about and the rich? Chair, I think next time I must sit far away from Member Bosman. Thanks.
On that note, I must say it was interesting to be with the department a couple of weeks ago, speaking and engaging with young people, and I would request from the department to also then engage the committee and send those invites where members could potentially come and witness what is happening. But on the Chrysalis Academy, our understanding, and I've told the CEO that I am very biased about it because it's a history, personal history with Chrysalis, but the hubs, have all the hubs been identified already, and will that be rolled out? Will there be funds allocated to assist with what we deem to be a Chrysalis hub, obviously away from the main premises? But then also, Mr. George, I'm not sure I made a note, but you mentioned specifically Overstrand. Has that already been done? The units are on the ground with regard to, because I'm always referencing it back to the Avalon coaching and what we have noticed in the Overstrand area. So is that K9 unit up and going in Overstrand? But then also for our procedural officer and for the department to note regarding the policing needs and priorities, seeing that we are starting a new year, if we can be kept up to date with regards to those dates, etc., and then the committee could potentially slot in there as well. But then the one other question, I note that the application for the youth and youth safe and religious partnership program is ending soon, probably the next couple of days, and to go back to member Christians, I'm aware of the application form and the criteria and connecting with faith-based organizations, but there was one input from one of the members a year ago regarding how can we see value for money. Yes, it must be one meal a day. There's a set criteria that that the NGOs will have to meet, but have we engaged around a possible module that we make it compulsory in order to see the value? Because I could potentially have 60 kids draw from the department, but there's no real value because I'm just letting them be in a venue, for example. But Member Christians gave submissions regarding how do we see the value? And to build a module around it so that we can actually then see the change, or the change that we hope to see. Thank you. Just before the department, I note Member Board.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe on that last part that you just spoke to, maybe if the department can furnish us with a evaluation report of what has worked, what did not work, what are you improving on going forward? And then also on page 122, and it's the Chrysalis, expanding from the Chrysalis project, what would a youth hub in this instance, what would it look like? What would it, you know, what's the service that it would render?
Thank you. This is the afternoon shift. So Member Botha ignited another question that I suddenly forgot now. But with the, it was not on Chrysalis, it was on the religion partnership program. If we can potentially, once that process has been concluded, to understand where those holiday programs will take place, so that we can also then, even from the committee side, distribute it to all the members, because all members would be constituency heads in various areas, where they are also able to then go and experience what is happening at the program in the specific area.
This is another end.
Member Kama.
And then
myself.
Members, after this, after these three questions, if there's no pertinent follow-up,
yes.
we will then close 119 to 129.
Yeah.
No, thanks, Chair. Apologies for that. I wanted to follow up, Chair, on the question of the school resource officers. Because I see the on 124 that the deployment will happen in partnership with the city of Cape Town. Now, what I want to understand is, what about other schools outside the city of Cape Town? Because in the visits we've had, there were really serious security challenges in many of those schools. So I just want to understand that part. The other chair is just on 129. I see on table 7.3, the Western Cape Liquor Authority.
Member, if I can just ask you to hold on for that one, we will make allocation where we will discuss the Liquor Authority. Is that in order?
No, I just wanted, Chair, to ask from the department as to the budget allocated to the Liquor Authority.
Okay.
Could we
potentially do a joint so that we can have that discussion and then it's
no
potentially
problem.
More fruitful?
No problem.
Otherwise, we go here and there. Thank you for understanding. Member questions?
No, Chair, I just also follow up the relationship between the department and the new provincial commissioner. And Advocate Belay said that, you know, they now redirecting resources. So how does that fit in with the law enforcement officers that will be trained, 1,000 and then 3,000 over? How does that fit in? You know, how do you work that out? So you work with the police, they reallocate resources to where it's needed, and how does the law enforcement on the space 123 fit in with to beef up that? If we can just have explanation, because that's part of the safety plan. Chair, just one thing about the religious partnership with the religious institutions. Initially, the program and previously we received, the department was very good to give us all the where the money is rolled out. But initially, that program was started to get the children off the street. That was not to have them run around when it's holiday period. That was the initial thing, and so that was good for there. And then I further ask, because there's not a lot of money allocated per child. It was minimum, you know, and people complain that it just covers the, and I must tell you, the people said that the department is very strict on that. So, you know, it only cover a meal, but it was a small amount. So the problem that they have is now you don't have the expertise maybe to take the program to the next level if you don't have extra funding for that. Because all, you know, churches maybe don't have, they cannot develop programs or whatever the case may be, but it becomes a challenge. So I've rightly asked if we can maybe just do something with that youth as for them just to run around or just keep them off the street, but also put something in them, because the problem is if they go back, you know, they can be an asset or they can be a liability to society. So that's why I said, can't we just put additional funding to that program so that we also instill something in that child so that he does not become a problem child? Because so I'm just giving the background. I'm right if I'm saying it was just to keep them off the streets. And the money, I think, I don't know what is now, it was 50 rand then per child. I know it's a bit more now, but it could not, you know, we're asking a lot for little money. But if we can have another presentation on that maybe going forward, Chair. Thank you.
We have, seeing that is on my mind now and it is the afternoon, we have had a fruitful discussion and interaction with Waves for Change, and the department would probably be familiar with them, where they are doing amazing work in having a module already to deal with issues pertaining to youth at risk and how to keep them occupied in a meaningful way. But I will now hand over to the department.
Thanks. I think Mr. Morrison will respond to some of the more technical questions. But I think there are some questions that, again, the Honourable Karma and Christians asked, that's more kind of conceptual in nature. Because one of the interesting issues, just to come to your last point, Honourable Christians, around the religious bodies, and I think we need to expand it perhaps not only to religious, to NGOs also. I think the point you're making, maybe NGOs are doing good work. And then we need to also look at the other part of impact. What is the impact that the program will have? And of course now with what happened at the Northwest School, following from the Johannesburg education, we need to also now look at the liabilities. And we're really seriously looking at, so I like your proposal that we throw all of it into a pot, look at, really go review the situation and see what model we can come up with that's really take away the risks, that look at those liabilities, look at all possible liabilities, and then to also see the one component of impact that you raise, that we see how we can do that, because it can't just be distributing and keeping children, as you said, but you know, what content, how do you change behavior within that program or the module, as the chairperson refers to it. The Honorable Kama, I think you asked a follow-up question around that. I think the one thing I always say, a lot of problems starts within the metro, probably because there's 70% of the population lives in the metro, but I think some of those lessons one can really take and start testing in other parts of the province. And we're having an amazing relationship, in fact a formal relationship with the district municipalities. And I think what one can start doing, and there's the other morning a very interesting comment came up that even the notion of rural safety cannot be based in agriculture, but it's based within municipalities, within the district municipalities. And so from that point of view, one can really look at how do you expand the SR program, SRO program, to those district municipalities as one of the other additional key performance areas. I'm just making that point because they run the K9 unit, as you said, but as you order for Drugstukker of Avalon, you know. The point I'm just making, let us look at it. It's always a developmental, it's always dynamic, it changes all the time. And, you know, as long as we just stay within the chairperson's point of the APPs, you know, as long as the broad indicator is there, so that one can achieve that. I think I'm going to ask other, because there are hubs. It's a very interesting expansion program, because for a long time, Christellas, after they finish the training, they're 3 months there, then they go for 9 months, and then a lot of them are just unemployed at home in those areas, in Paketberg, in those areas in George, in Pickelsdorp. What the hub is doing in a very structured way is use that expertise, almost linked to what Oswald Christie is saying, use that expertise of that trained Christellas graduate to see how do they create hubs, youth hubs in that community. We had a very interesting test in another park with a young person who apparently was going to go in the other, and then he went, Chrysalis saved him. And I tell you, I saw him in action working with our Crystal Eye last year in 2019 and that exams. But that was a very good example of what the hubs are going to develop into. So they work within the areas where they are, in their existing areas, we take all of them together. On the last camp that you attended, there were a whole lot of youth hubs. People were there present. They were the facilitators. They were the kind of disciplinarians. Very interesting program. That again, it can be as dynamic as we would choose it to be, and as you know, as often. But I think I'll hand over to the Judy. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Mr. Bosman, your question on EPIC. EPIC does not run from a smartphone device. It runs from a custom handheld set. What we'll do, and there's already a clearing committee set up on all safety technology between the city and the province. The DG is the chair of that. And we'll then see that the technology that we use can speak and vice versa. We had the conversation again yesterday. Of course, we now have a neighborhood watch desk that has been set up at the TMC, which means that that person is in physical contact with all the other emergency services. But still, as I said earlier, Respectfully so, I think the closest we can bring the ad to what is reported in the police system, the better, because that's where the vast majority of resources is within the police. On the K9 and the highway patrol, Mr. Kama, through the chair, the K9 units that we have established, one of their core functions is to support the way bridges. So when trucks are stopped or long distance vehicles, then they use the dogs to smell. And it's a very technical field again, Chair. You can imprint only two smells on a dog. There are different categories. A dog cannot smell marine and plofstof, or do you understand? So there's different categories and so, but you basically buy the dog already trained, and then you need to train a dog handler to work with the dog. And the units is already established, of course, in the city. It is established in Overstrand as well as in Swartland. The money provided, and it's published in this book, also the Government Gazette, page 20, Chair. The detail of that is then over the next 3 years at least then to see sustainability. We've also provided in our own budget then to explore the establishment of a K9 unit as part of our security support team. So as our security support team, Chair, is supporting you when you go out in the field and so, let's then have our own K9 units that can do support and then have operations, top-ups where and when that is needed. I'll ask Advocate Pillay if you can maybe speak to the chrysalis breakdown of the funds, please, ma'am.
Thank you, HOD. In relation to the chrysalis expansion, there will be sessions with educators and principals. 30 schools will be targeted, and there will be weekend camps that are held with these high-risk schools. There will also be the rollout of the youth hub. We previously had focused on four areas in the province, but as Minister has alluded to, the youth hubs will be a support base for youth in general in the communities and will also offer an opportunity for the chrysalis graduates to actually display their leadership potential and transfer some of the skills that they have acquired during their three-month training at chrysalis. There would also be youth outdoor adventure camps, and 30 schools will be targeted, reaching an additional 600 youth. And then the normal three-month regimented residential training will then target 630 youth. Sorry, I'm nervous. Okay, if I can just, actually, with your permission, can I, and the chair's permission, can I list the schools in which the SROs are deployed? I know that was the question. May I?
Yes.
Chair, sorry. Okay, there are 16 schools where 52 SROs will be deployed. The schools are Perseverance Secondary School, Arcadia Secondary School, Bontehillville Secondary School, St. Andrews High School, Masi Bambisane Secondary School, Voorbrug Crystal High School, Heidefeld Secondary School, Red River Primary School, Bulumku Secondary School, Joe Slovo Secondary School, Lavender Hill High School, Hillwood Primary School, Lavana Primary School, Prince George Primary School, and Capricorn Primary School. If I may also answer the question from Member Christians on SAPS and the reallocation of resources, what I stated was that SAPS, we were privy to some of the information where SAPS has already reallocated some of their resources to support the SANDF deployment. And going forward, the law enforcement deployment will be together with the SAPS deployment as per priority areas that have been jointly identified so that we have maximum impact in relation to the crime situation in the high murder station.
I would add also about the SROs that, again, the deployment can be, we can deploy as the need arises. So you don't need to stick with something where you don't need something, but where there's a bigger need somewhere else. And remember, our department also do that school risk assessment that I think is very helpful to determine where exactly to deploy SROs So it's not just like, you know, so an eye by me, it's like quite...
If I may, just also on the school safety, and I'm careful now, but remember there's an old saying of the funds must follow the function. And remember that the lion's share of funds for school safety is not with us. You understand? We are at the advisory services. The 50 million rand sits with education and not with us. So that is why the school... The security risk assessment tool, which we developed, which has now also become a national accepted project or tool, that guides them on how they deploy. The school resource officers, the deployment that we pay, is then a combination of those most in need, where a security or a neighborhood watch is not sufficient. You actually want a armed capability in the resource school resource officers, and then of course also as it was linked at the time to the emergency medical services access routes to communities. So instead of going to the police station, they could go to any of these schools. If I may just also summarize from my side in terms of the YSRP, a number of questions were asked. Ms. Buerta, we've done an independent assessment. We had it done, and we can make that available to the committee. I think that's also what gave rise to the conversation Honourable Member Christians spoke about before. That report basically said to us, you achieved your objective of keeping the kids off the street. There were many other things that we could do, but given the money. But it also then said to us, very interesting, is that these religious programs, when we run after schools, for instance in the schools, one of the major problems is security. Because you have downtime almost every week, they can't run the program because there's not enough security. Then you start putting in so much money in the security that there's no money for the programs. The YSRP programs, interesting enough, for the period of evaluation, did not have a single day down day. You understand? It's as if, well, one could only assume the gangsters and so respect the authority or the domain of the church. I can just maybe also what we did after our previous conversation, Honourable Member Christians, in how do we strengthen the program. At the time, we still don't have the ability to prescribe the program because the programs, they are so diverse, you understand. But what we have done, Chairperson, and with Minister's leadership, of course, whether this will continue or so, but we then allowed each of the churches to nominate two youth that were then appointed on the EPWP for 2 months so that they can then become part of a planning. We actually invested in them as youth workers so that when they go back to their churches, they take that. And the quality of reporting and all of it improved because we invested. We only limited them to the month before and the month after the program. Of course, the question would be, with the additional money we got on EPWP, how much can we then look at it? And my last comment there, when Mr. Christian spoke about the idea was just to get the kids off the ground. There was another idea that I would respectfully that the committee would not lose scope of this, and that was the formal partnership with the religious fraternity. No other department in our government has a formal partnership with the religious fraternity, and we know that they are extremely influential in terms of safety, and their footprint in the poor communities cannot be matched by any other partner. And that was the key. So the question is, how do we now build on that partnership that is now worth more than 21 million rand over the last 3 years? How do we then build on it? An equal amount, Chair, in the next 3 years, which creates opportunity. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just a follow-up on what the HOD said.
Okay, I see you and I see Rim, Member Buerta might want to give input as well.
No, Chair, I just heard what the HOD said about the 50 million that sits with education. You know, when we have education here, they say our core mandate is education, and that is exactly what it is. So speak to community safety when it comes to safety of schools. So please tell us now, because when we sit with education year in and year out and talk about school safety, they say, no. You know, we must go look for money when we want to secure our schools. Mm-hmm. So the department says, tell us now, how does that work? Because they say they confidence in us to educate, and we understand that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the safety of schools lays with community safety. So if the HG or the manager can help us.
Can I also just...
Because with that,
Chair, thank you. I'm latching onto what Member Christus is saying, and I also want to say that isn't not time that we put all the resources, financial resources, in one hat, and then take from there as to what is a successful program. And you know, education and cultural affairs and sport have the MOD. You have Chrysalis, and you have the hubs that you are now talking about, and you have the holiday programs winter and summer, all those money. And I'm just thinking, HOD, as you are talking, I'm thinking, you know, those holiday programs that you are talking about, I see that, and you say that you have now had camps with the Chrysalis youth, because not all of them are absorbed into formal employment. But for them to also run the holiday programs, and they could get together, you know, the 10 that are in Paketberg, to sort of start a NGO, as you put it, who does the holiday program, to do that holiday program, because they are upskilled now as they come from Chrysalis. And maybe, you know, to move away from the kind of silo, everybody does this little bit in a community.
So I just want to directly respond to that, because currently we're busy with a project in the Khayelitsha area around school gangs, and these youth gangs, different to the other areas, youth gangs, and we've engaged the department, and I want to emphasize this because I've long time moved away from departmental thinking. So what education, where, and some of the senior members with DOCS, with the KDF, the Khayelitsha Development Forum, with the Education Development Forum of Khayelitsha, with our neighborhood watchers, with all our councillors, all, and I'm talking about whatever party you, as long as you're a councillor, you're there. And I must say to you, honorable members, that we are now moving at a very, very interesting rate around just solving the problem. We can always talk about where the money comes from afterwards, but to solve the problem. And I think that approach we must, I've actually already asked that we look at how do we deal with Mitchell's Plain in a similar fashion. There's one school in Mitchell's Plain, Alpan Prame, that's been broken into, and it's not just broken to steal, it's to damage, it's to destroy. To destroy the toilet system of children. You know, school was disrupted for a whole week because they broke through the roof. They smashed up all the toilet system. It was just destruction. There was nothing of value that they took away. I think, so we're also meeting with the inspector at that school, the principal, and see how do we assist her with the Department of Education, with DOCS, with the neighborhoods, with the civic association, to reconceptualize that whole model there, and getting ownership of communities of their own systems. So I think it's a very different approach and a different way of just thinking. There was another question that I think I think it was the youth partnerships for religious bodies. I was trying to find that the COT. Oh, there was another place where we asked around policing needs and priorities. I think that will be provided because the department really runs a whole program for the year on policing needs and priorities. And it would be good to invite all the members to come and to invite the members to other activities that we have. You know, some of our honorable chairperson is always at all these events because he's actually performing there, but you know.
that's why I'm unable to concentrate now. I've been trying to get Member Kama to come, so hopefully the next time. Members, on a point of procedure from now until the end, Member Kama, earlier on your comment with regard to the Liquor Authority, at the end we will deal with that. We will now go to page 130 to 140. I am aware that we are taking a break in the next half an hour, but then we also have pages 140 to 150. But also, as you would be aware of previous experience, you can refer to any annexure which is from pages 151 to 157 if you want to cross-reference to any page that we are dealing with. I trust that you all understand. So, can I take a round for pages 130 to 140 at this time? I see member Christian.
I see member Kama.
Thank you, Chair. Just 136. Just the Western Cape Police Ombudsman. They did a presentation here previously, and Minister HOD, I must say, it's people with expertise, very, very, very good qualified people. But there was a problem with appointing more people, because also, you know, if you go to a black area, you need a cause of, and I think that was a lack, a cause of speaking person to engage with those people or receive calls. And they were, I know that people are seconded and all of that, but I think they're doing a good job, and engaging with them, there is quite a bit of, you know, under-resourced. I think the one lady, yeah, you know, the one lady does advertising, but she's alone. Advertising and marketing and communication, she's alone. There's no support staff to her. And we know, you know, when you talk about the ombudsman, they on the radio, you can hear wherever you go, and the advertising. So there, I know, was a resource problem. And also when it comes to the cause of speaking, there was some problems there that they don't have enough. So just to give us, you know, the allocations and so on, and did they address those type of things? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. On page 133, I think there on your earmarked allocations, you speak about an allocation amounting to 2.3 million rand, I think, to create safe communities, Wi-Fi linking safety kiosks, and the police stations. Now, what I want to understand is what, if I can get an idea of where these safety kiosks, do we have them in these areas that are troublesome that we're talking about, and what is being done there. The other question I have, Chair, is on page 136. Also, I want to get an understanding of these community stabilization units and where are they found. If we can get more on that. On the allocation, I think 417 million for the law enforcement officers. I think firstly, Chair, I must, as part of the resolutions that we are going to make, perhaps request, and I don't know in this case whether it will be the department or the premier, understanding that it's the premier's safety plan, just for the committee to be given a briefing on the plan. And where are we now in terms of developing this plan? And to say, Chair, also that the committee must be taken along as we continue with the program, so that we're able to exercise oversight, like the launch of the previous 500 law enforcement officers and other activities that has to do with this. Now, what I want to get in that, Chair, is that I think you say you are going to have about 1,000 in this financial year. Now, what I want to understand, this 1,000, is it that 500 and another 500 that is coming? And where are we in terms of the training of that other 500? And perhaps also, that's why I was saying, Chair, maybe we need to later get a briefing, so that we can understand the training involved and the competencies involved. Because what we didn't want, Chair, is to train law enforcement officers, deploy them in Nyanga, only to compromise their safety, because their safety as well is very important. And that would have to do with the training they receive and the competencies they have. And then lastly on that, Chair, is the question of deployment thereof. The 500 that we have now, where are they, what are they doing, when are they stationed somewhere, or are they part of the operations that are happening already, under whose command? How do we monitor the work that they're doing? Thanks, Chair.
Member questions?
Chair, I just want to follow up with this safety kiosk. The department must tell us, does this work? I know the purpose was to create a safe zone so that people can run, but does it work? Because last, when I checked it, they operate from April 4, and it's one person, you know, so they can't put it into a too dangerous area because it's not going to help. You can't put it in a troublesome area because they will just be vandalized and all of that. So does it really work? Isn't there other, because I've visited some of those kiosks and I don't know if it really works, you know. I don't know. The department and those people, are their lives not in danger, you know? They get confronted with people that's angry. The woman running to the kiosk because the husband went to beat her up. They get angry. And those things, is it safe? And how is it vandalized and those type of things, you know? If it's in I can't go into troublesome area, as I said, because it's not going to work. So how do you decide on those type of things? I don't know if it works. The department must please tell me, does it work? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. I've noted the input also, Member Kama. As you would be aware, in November when we sat in Premier, when the Premier initially provided us with that overview, I am in discussion with the Chairperson for the Premier and Constitutional Matters regarding a joint oversight committee, but then to include the entire cluster so that we can all be on the same page in that regard. That should be coming to the programming authority very soon. Member Gillian is wanting guns for our community safety people. So he's upset about that. But thank you for that input. And regarding the research that has been taking place, 132, to conduct relevant research to inform stakeholders, if the committee can be furnished with a list of what has been done, etc., because that can obviously then assist the committee as well as per page 132. But then just to latch on to Member Kama's question as well regarding LEAP and the 417 million, are you able to take us into confidence at this stage regarding the amount of investigators? We have heard of the enforcement officers that's on the ground, but the investigators, what time frames are we looking at? What is the possible delay in that regard? Thank you.
I'll go page by page as the questions were asked. 132, Mr. Allen, on the policy and research, we'll make that available to you. I think it's also a broad spectrum of research documents. Minister recently also released the whole issue of the domestic violence. So it's a combination of research done by means of a physical inspection and then more academic research, for instance, the paper on visible police. But we'll make that available to you. I don't know if Advocate wished to add there. I think then page 133, on the 2.3 million allocated for the Wi-Fi kiosk. That's the same money we're speaking about in terms of the an advocate Pileka. And again, there is basically a mobile Wi-Fi that we can go and set up. So we have this now. We set it up at public meetings. So when people are there and they have reports, they can actually, we can direct them to log on to the Ombudsman's complaint and they can log it there. I think the question would be, it's almost like a guerrilla style Wi-Fi you go and set up for a specific, if there's a serious problem in Ocean View, you want community to be able to send us pictures of the gangsters running around, then you go and you set up a Wi-Fi so that they can be able to do it. So that's the design principles behind it. Mr. Christians, the safety kiosk, remember we donated. Let me first answer. I think they work better in the winter than they do in the summer. You understand, when you have adverse weather. Otherwise, the guards or the police will just hide somewhere. So there's value in that. We donated to be that city improvement districts, municipalities, and there's always a kind of it's a potential asset to them. And I think Minister will, in his planning with the district municipalities as well. So it's again, how do we create capacity in the districts? Some of it would be boots on the ground, but others would be infrastructure and so forth. Maybe some of the kiosks can later become extensions of the youth camps. So maybe when they do a soup kitchen, it's an asset that you can use as you want to. I'm just saying my personal experience that in the winter they use much better.
Just to add, because I have a practical example, at Cartman's, we had a whole lot of issues with people going to the station in the morning, early morning. And people at the community meeting asked us, and we said, let's test. Again, as you say, we're not sure, let's test it. I promise you that incidents of people attacked, because this is on the morning presence, and we parked at the school on your way to the... It's amazing just that difference where the neighborhood watch can now stand under a little thing with a light that's on and made a difference. So I think, and it may not work in another place.
Mm.
Work where it may not work. But I think just to amplify the point of action.
If I then go to the last page, 136, on the comments made by the Mr. Christians on the Ombudsman, we hear what you say, sir. I think it's always an issue of allocation. You can see that they have received additional money there on page 136. On the support services like communications, one would have to see a better collaboration between the department and the Ombudsman. Otherwise, it would be too expensive for the Ombudsman to create its own financial unit, its own, and that's a model that I believe makes it affordable.
Mm.
Remember, we're the only province with an Ombudsman, and as we see the value of the work, hopefully we'll see better support. Okay, so I'll ask them to respond to that. I think I think Vanessa will speak on the LEAP officers, the 500, and maybe just on the investigators. Also,
yes,
okay, thank you.
So thank you, Mr. Honorable Kama. The issue also around that 500, and I think I agree with Honorable Egan to actually, because it's a transversal project, to ask the previous office to do the whole of the safety plan, not just the boots on the ground, to also do the violence prevention and what comes out of that. I think we just be fair to actually do the whole. But just to also say that the investigators, what we have looked at was to say, is it the investigators that's going to increase the conviction rate or not? So what we have done now is to subject that to a far deeper research to make sure that is indeed so or not so. So that's why that is actually been. And I want to also, I think someone asked earlier, I think it's Honorable Christian, you have LEAP, you have the city with national fitting into.
Mm-hmm.
I must say to you, at this point, it looks like we're all moving towards in the same direction. It's really moving towards, and it's not easy, because, you know, as you pointed out, all of us got our own preoccupations with our space, and you know, and some of us are would you go as those sheriffs in the town, and others are not, others believe more that it's not just to arrest people. So I'm saying it's a really interesting, almost dynamic of relationships that you need to manage and massage, and ego sometimes, massage it all the time to get outcomes. It's all about the relationships. And I want to say, I think we're moving in the right direction in getting those relationships right. And I think it's a very, very important point, because initially it was going to be the city and us, the Western Cape government with the city, and the province with the national. And I must say national actually said, no, let's have it all of us together. Let's have a national, the province, and the city. And so if you have an issue around the gun licensing of those leap officers that someone said, that you actually sort it out immediately so that it can be dealt with immediately. We also have, in fact, in the finalization stages of the protocol document itself. And I think that's exactly, I think, the question that people ask, that we have that protocol document with SAPS, with the city, and with province. So I'm really optimistic that it will work. And I think at the end, it is as much as that, you know what, how we make it to work, that will really assist, you know, in the whole thing. I also just want to amplify what Mr. Morris is saying around the ombudsman. I think there will always be more, and I think you know systems, people will always ask, you know, for more. I think we need to just work on how to smart, and how can we work smarter when budgets are all being cut everywhere. But let's work smarter and let's be fair. And I think what you make something around demographics is important. You cannot have someone where there's no person who speaks is closer, and you need the investigations, or it might be another issue, a gender issue. Let's just be, if we're smart, let's just do all those kind of things correct. So completely in agreement to what the Honourable Member is saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Hassan. I just wanted to add some points. In terms of the Ombudsman, we also, as a department, which includes the Ombudsman, is going through a modernization process. So we are looking at the organizational structure of the department and the Ombudsman. In terms of communication, the Department of the Premier has a transversal contract, of which we all have access to that contract and to the expertise that the service provider provides. So the Ombudsman's comms person does not just work on her own. There's obviously that resource that she could tap into from the department side, as well as that transversal contract with the department. In terms of the, I just want to say about the Wi-Fi linking, we have procured 10 LTE devices, and we're in the process of procuring 215 handsets. So that will support that project. The Community Stabilization Unit, that is actually the SRO program, of which I then referred to the 16 schools, and that is the 4.388 million. I think in terms of the research, some of the research that we have conducted and we can make available, one of the national projects that we conducted in all provinces was the effectiveness of SAPS, Basic Police Development Learning Program, on a professional police force. And we can make that available in all the other research to this committee chair.
Members, we are, it is now 15:18. We could potentially take a break now for 15 minutes and directly delve into pages 140 to 150, but then also engage around the Western Cape Liquor Authority. I want to state again, we will be engaging the department in terms of the APP and the strategic plan, as well as the entity. And even though I wouldn't want to curb any discussion or robust debate here today, so we will now break, and then we will come back at 15. I must do this right now. 15:35. To the department as well, there is refreshment, coffee and juice. Thank you. Let's talk with what? Members and the department guests, we are reconvening our meeting, and with your indulgence, we will now actually table pages 140 to 150, including any questions that you have in terms of the Western Cape Liquor Authority. Do I see any takers for input or questions? Remember, you can also delve into any of the annexures from 151 to 157. Do you have any questions? I see Member Kama.
Thanks, Chair. Were you saying I must also include that question I had on the...
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think let me start with that one, Chair. If you look at page 129, I just wanted to ask on what the plan, the safety plan, speaks about our integrated approach and us addressing the causative factors of crime. And we have noticed that most of the murders also happen in, they are influenced by alcohol. Even with the recent gang shooting in Khayelitsha that happened at the illegal shebeen. And understanding that the authority also has been, like any other department, crying about the lack of resources. And I see there that we only have an increase of 0.4 for the entity. The entity got, after the, I think it got like 42 million, 108, it still gets 42,277. Now I just wanted to get an interaction of the department in that, because understanding the role that the authority must play in trying to bring as much as many outlets into the regulated space. Now, how do we think that would be possible in aiding their work when we do not give them more resources, Chair? That's the question I had around that. The other question I have, Chair, is on page 144. I just want to get an understanding of why do we have such a high increase on the legal costs. I think it's way too high, even when you compare it to the past three. If you can talk, maybe there's a legal case involved or whatsoever. But you see there a 5,990% I think that's 59,900% increase there. The last question I have, Chair, also is on page 145. I also want, similar to the question I've just posed on computer services, if we can talk to the increase there. I've noted that on page 141, there is an increase of about 13 personnel that we're looking at. But I want to get an understanding as to is that the cause or what could be. Was if you look at the main appropriation of 2019-2020, you will see that we had a 1.7 million that was our main appropriation, but we adjusted it down to 463. But now we are again taking it to 283. So I want to get an understanding on that increase there. Thanks, Chair.
Member Christian?
Chair, I can't see it, but I'm just checking. We have a problem with illegal operators, right, liquor outlets. And last time, I'm just checking, there would have been an increase in inspectors. Is there an increase for more inspectors? And how is the department and the liquor authority going to combat this illegal outlets? Because we know now that the illegal outlets buys from the legal outlets to operate in those hours. And just again, the income when it comes to the penalties. I know they've increased the penalties. If we can just get some briefing on that, thanks.
Any other members? I'm partly covered by Member Kama and Member Christian, so I'll give over to the department, but also for the liquor authority.
Thank you, Chair. So, on the issue of the allocation to the liquor authority, if you allow me, Chair, I just want to deviate a bit, because this goes back to the alcohol harms reduction game changer plan as well. The things that the Honourable Member Kama and Christian mentioned in terms of the alcohol contribution to crime and murder, those are well known and verified facts. So remember, if in this document you increase the budget must be transferred to the liquor authority, and we have basically no further control over that money because it's ring-fenced, it's going to them. So this year we said what we'll do, Chair, is we'll give them the basis as ring-fenced, and then we'll work with them on how the rest of the money must be used. Otherwise we have no influence, we have no legal, other than to ask the board, please, will you consider this, will you consider this? So the strategy of transferring to them less, not less money, but the same money, so that there is engagement about what they'll do. And it comes back to, I think, what Mr. Christians is saying. So from the board, if we ring fence the money, they can go and they appoint more LLT spokespersons or whatever, and they don't appoint inspectors, and we have no say about it because that money has been transferred. So again, Chairperson, it is unconventional, I agree to that, but it is because we take the reforms of the liquor authority very serious. Again, Minister Kele spoke about it when he visited the site, and about the fact that the alcohol is not confiscated. That is, you understand, and that requires a legal amendment, and we need to push this, and we need to do so urgently. So, Mr. Kama, your question on page 144, the spike in the legal cost is for the review of the Liquor Act. So we've put aside 1.2 million rand so that we can bring the expertise on board, so that we have the dedicated skills to have that done, and done quickly. So I think then also the issue of revenue on the fines, I think if the newly appointed CEO, Chair, Mr. Gweber, he can also maybe speak to that. But from my perspective, and Minister has also spoken to me about this, one must also look at efficiency. So, Chairperson, currently we send a liquor inspector to get into a car to drive to George to go and inspect the liquor outlets in George. Why can't we have an agreement with the municipality, the local law enforcement, so that they can go and inspect? So we can also maybe create viability in the local law enforcement field outside Cape Town alone. So I think there's a number, but these things will need legal change. And I think the key to the legal changes that we need to see, Chair, is that we need to bring some of the control of the, remember, it's a constitutional responsibility of the Western Cape government to regulate the micro-manufacture, retail and sale of alcohol. And currently that is all given to the liquor board. We need to bring some of that back to the minister so that we can drive the reforms that we need, that we know we need. I think then on the C is the computer cost. I'm going to ask CFO, page 145, please, CFO.
Page 145. Thank you, Chair, through yourself. The CEI cost is like with many of the services that we get from, support that we get from .P in terms of shared services for other departments or alongside other departments in the province. Where we look at specifically on our system side, where we want to have additional hours or man hours from them, then we actually pay them. And the reason why we requested additional man hours from them is for development of prioritizing and fast-tracking the development of prioritized IT systems within the department. So we've allocated an additional 1.6 million, which we then transferred to .P under the Center for Innovation. They'll then recruit an analyst or a developer for us, and that person would then be dedicated to the department. And that's what the additional 1.6 million is for.
You said the
mic?
Just as that questions are posed, it is my understanding that the game changer no longer exists.
Chairperson, it does not exist as a standalone program. But of course, the money that we've invested and the lessons we've learned, we now need to institutionalize that through legislative reforms and so on.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to add on the game changers, there was a request that previously the game changers were funded through an additional allocation. There was a request from the department to bring the cost of the current three inspectors into our baseline. With the reduced resources we've said in terms of prioritization, we'll prioritize that. So over the 3-year period, the cost of employing the three game changers is now as part of our cost. Make sure that even though we have not yet secured the additional resources from the department, but with what we have, we're able to sustain the current level of enforcement, which we're able to achieve with the game changers. And then the second issue linked to that is with regards to the fine that result from some of these programs. If I take you to page 149, there on top there's a line item. Entity revenue other than through sales, that's where the revenue of the own entity generated from other activities, including fines, is captured. Wherein for the 2020-21 financial year, you see that there's a significant increase in the amount of revenue budgeted for. It's because of the experience from this year's performance where we've seen some revenue being generated from fines and other sources which enable the authority to fund its other programs. And the other issue raises with regards to the 0.4% increase in nominal terms, which translates to a 4.6 decrease in real terms. In engagement with the department, they indicated that they would be looking at making a discretionary conditional allocation to the entity, which would be focused at increasing the capacity of the entity with regards to law enforcement, and we are going to meet in the near future to try and finalize that, because for us, we don't just want to keep sustaining the current level. We want to contribute meaningfully to the as part of the safety program, but for that would need the discretionary resources that they should have.
Just to clarify, is it 5.248 million?
Yes.
In fines?
No, not fines. It includes fines.
Oh, okay. What is the amount received from fines? The reason why I'm checking is that, and I wouldn't expect you to have the numbers off the top of your head, but how many would be illegal at this time? I know tomorrow one can pop up, will go down again, but is there an estimation?
With our law enforcement, we focus on licensed institution that then breaches the conditions of the license or the legislation. At this stage, we can't, with the current legislation, deal with unlicensed obviously our influence in terms of the part of the strategy of being the lead in alcohol alcohol reduction, we say since the illegals buy from the legals, we focus on ensuring that the legals operate within the parameters of the conditions of the license, and if there were any repeat transgressions, they were able to deal with those through the issuing of fines. And in recent past, we've issued some of heavy fines which the players had to pay. But in conversation with the team, they say this is a double-edged sword, that once you start being strict on enforcement and issue those fines, compliance improves. However, your revenue generation goes the other direction. So the reliance on fines to carry out certain programs is not sustainable, because as you enforce your conditions meaningfully, it means that people start learning that they need to comply, and there's less transgression for you to issue fines on. So what we've said is to say, since we can't, with the current capacity, reach all our outlets, we follow a risk-based law enforcement approach whereby we try to target areas which are problematic. And if a certain area starts complying, using that risk-based model says you start targeting the other areas which, due to resource limitations, you are unable to. So you keep the industry well-regulated within discussed resources. But with the conversations we had with the department, we're hoping we'll be able to tap into the additional resources made available for them as part of the safety plan to say, how do we, without an additional cost to the fiscals, meaningfully contribute to the safety plan.
Chairperson, I'm mindful of time, but there's such an important point here that I think we just need to take note of, and that is the distribution model used by the industry. So what you'll find in a place like Khayelitsha, you'll have five or six legal outlets, and for each of those you'll have, on a ratio of about 1 to 20, you'll have illegals. So the industry is delivering to the legal outlets, and the legal outlets is now deliberately and purposefully illegally selling to the illegals. So, and these are the people that's making the big money. It's not the gogo running the shebeen that's making the profit. The profit is being made by these outlets that are operating under license that we gave them. And that is why the enforcement must target the big outlets that are selling to the illegals. The attempts by police to deal with the shebeens at street level is also severely frustrated now, Chair, because the provincial law does not allow them to confiscate the liquor if the person pays an admission of guilt. So on a Friday, the police will go out, they'll do raids, they'll take buckets full of liquor to the stores. On the Wednesday, the person will pay 200 rand admission of guilt and he'll get his alcohol back. Now, that is crazy, you understand? We need to change that legal framework if we want to make an impact on liquor at street level. Thanks, Chair.
Members, I am aware where this liquor store is. if you are open to that, I know you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the members. I just want to remind everyone that the Alcohol Harms Reduction White Paper was adopted by the Western Cape Cabinet in 2017. And there has been quite a significant time lapse between either bringing a new bill to the legislature or even amendments. And as the HOD has just said, we need amendments to this. So this is the first thing I really want to remind everyone, that our hands as the Western Cape Liquor Authority are completely tied to the existing legislation. And of course the liquor industry has huge resources, as the HOD said, to challenge legally, to manage these things in ways that suit them. So that's the first point. The second point is, we note the approach of the department that they feel that the liquor authority is requires to be ring-fenced. The liquor authority is completely behind VIP 1 and has said that in its strategic plan. However, if that's the approach of the department, we would very much like to say that we can easily double our minuscule inspectorate to assist with this program. But we need time to plan for that, and the financial year ends in a couple of weeks' time, so we would very much appreciate knowing how much and how soon we would be able to negotiate that extra amount to take on extra inspectors. Even we've accepted, we would like to offer some of the boots on the ground. We don't need inspectors all at a high level. We can manage with quite low-level inspectors, provided they're properly managed. So I just want to put in that appeal. Thank you very much.
I will allow the department to provide input from their side, and we won't ask in terms of the sword where you sit at this moment. But in my discussions, members, the liquor authority is open to us visiting
and engaging with them in this regard. So I'll now hand over to the Minister or the HOD.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I think I just also need to make 2 points. The 1.2 million that you've seen for the review of the liquor, I think, just to also remind members that that's the reason why we have the 1.2 million allocated for that. And I really think we're going to have a look at it in a very disruptive way. We're going to look at the liquor, I mean, how can the liquor authority come and ask us for more money if they can generate quite far more money if you just, for instance, implement a sliding scale in licensing? How can you charge an auntie who has a tavern in Kyalicha the same amount for macro that macro is paying? Macro's output is far more. I mean, this is basic logic. We are saying we need to look at how does the liquor authority or how do they become far more self-sustainable and self-efficient, and in fact, how do they fund their own boots on the ground by generating income from, and I'm talking about not just fines, I'm talking about those licensing. It takes almost, in some instances, I've heard a figure of 9 months to get a license. Swedish wants to have an approach of red tape to red carpet to see how do you make it, why are these agents who all used to be former liquor license workers, employees, are making huge money and the government is making nothing, the authority is making nothing. So I'm saying we need to just really go and really look at it. Perhaps you must introduce a model that you have, while you get your car license, perhaps you must do some other model. And thirdly, I want to just say, I think it allows us to, as Dr. Pratsky is saying, when we look at the review of to really look at the arms reduction and to introduce and to bring it in an effective, impactful way in our licensing, our new liquor licensing regime.
May I just say, seeing that the appeal has been tabled, I trust that the department and the liquor authority will engage in due course in this regard, unless there is something that is totally different to what I'm saying that you want to say.
Chair, I'm afraid we did precisely that. The policy of the liquor board, all the attempts of the liquor board are to be self-sustainable. But we were, shall I say, constrained in the amount that we could raise the liquor license. And that was a decision that was taken by the executive. And so it was kept to CPI, which is completely unrealistic, and we all absolutely support the minister's approach on this.
Okay. So we can conclude that.
Can I just say something on that?
Yes, sir.
No, Chair, the last time that we engaged on this matter, we were told by the department that, I think it is the annual reports, that the liquor authority will be self-sustainable very soon. They gave us a plan, but I can't remember when they said that. And that's why I thought the small increase in giving them a small 0.4%, it's maybe moving to that direction. But we were given the assurance, this committee was given the assurance, that the liquor authority will be self-sustainable. So is that not the case anymore? That is what Ms. Prancy said now.
Can I also just
I'll note the minister, and then I will make concluding remarks on this matter.
I just also want to say that, remember, I'm one of the executive authorities.
Yeah.
It's also the finance. And our proposal was to support the liquor authority when they said, I think it was 13% increase. It was brought to CPR, I mean, CPI. And obviously, it's a complicated. But again, I'm having that discussion with that executive, with that, you know, what's his name, with the financing executive authority, to see, to make it.
May I conclude in that appeal has been tabled. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, Chairperson, that you are here as well. And without putting a time frame on the department, but I trust that the conversation and the engagement will continue. But as a committee, we will obviously then exercise our oversight in that regard. So thank you for being here, members. I do want to state we are on pages... The last pages now, I'm going to take, if there's any pressing follow-up in terms of pages 140 to 150, including the annexures. I note Member Bosma.
I just wanted to follow up, maybe just a question that I have. So the HIV said that so liquor is confiscated on Friday, an admission of guilt fine is signed. But by getting an admission of guilt fine, doesn't that mean that the person then obtains a criminal record?
No.
No criminal record?
No.
The Criminal Procedure Act basically stipulates that if the police confiscate an item that becomes an exhibit in a court case and you pay an admission of guilt fine and you are allowed to have that item, then the police must hand the item back to you. You still have a criminal record, but now there's nothing in the provincial law that say, remember in the past I had 130 litres, but what we are arguing, Chair, is you can't punish the whole Western Cape because of the action of those. So we're saying in the Act should say, if you were convicted of illegal selling with alcohol, you may not possess. I'm just similar to what in the gambling board legislation, so that we narrow it down, and that will allow, Chair, through you, the police then to confiscate the act, the liquor.
The way I was going with that, so once you have that criminal record, doesn't that prohibit you from applying for a renewal of the liquor license?
No, but so it's not about the liquor license, it's now the liquor. Remember, there's many people with criminal record that can go and legally buy liquor. No, but nothing prevents you from having the liquor, and that's what we need to put in place.
I am grateful that you are here, Doctor, and the Chairperson, but we will then exercise our oversight as a committee in this regard and then leave it between the Department and the Liquor Authority in order to have further engagement in this regard. Members, am I certain pages 140 and 115, all the annexes has been dealt with? This will now be closed, as I said earlier on. We will be inviting the department once again to brief us on the strategic plan as well as on the APP and get the entity in. Or we come to you, or we meet at the liquor house. Member Christians is having a party soon, so we need to find But once again...
Don't liquor at my parties.
I was reminded that the very first meeting, and just if Member Bosman will allow me this, the very first meeting, and without looking at anyone or naming people, there was potentially, it was very heated. And it became so, to such a point, that I can now appreciate the doctor tabling an appeal, and we're dealing with it in a way because we all understand we want to move and create a safer Western Cape. The tone from that day, where Wasim was worried, to where we are now, I feel confident that the year 2020 will be a year where we can actually foster the relationship further, and like the minister said in his opening remarks, the relationship even with the SAPS, so that we can ultimately see in 5 years' time, like Advocate Pillay said, that crime rates reduced by 50%, where we can see it in tangible terms. So to everyone that's here, to members of the public, PMG, the interpreter, the Minister HOD, the chairperson and doctor, all the members, officials, special thank you to Wasim. Thank you for being here. This meeting is now adjourned. The members will stay. It's not adjourned, you are dismissed. I didn't visit the store yet.
Come and visit us.